Welcome! We're Books and Baddies,
a reader's podcast for hotties who read hot books.
From YA slow burns to all-out monster fucking,
join us as we break down shame,
embrace sexuality,
chase romance butterflies,
and find joy in the literature that calls to us.
If you are that kid reading in the back of the classroom,
this podcast is for you.
Yay!
Welcome back, baby baddies. Your favorite crew of chaotic pals are back, baby. We're back. Let's kick it off.
Back.
We're so back and better than ever.
I just mentioned it.
We are actually back.
We're back.
We are back
to back
with
to
a
back,
great
to back.
Back.
Baby got back.
Mm-hmm. Baddies got
we're
baby
throwing
got
it back.
Back.
Okay, let's kick it off with the usual. Since we're back. What are all you lovely baddies reading?
Ooh, can I start? Okay, I'm Mary. I am going to start. Thank you. I'm reading two things. The manual for my water softener, because I did not know what that was until I moved into this house. And then I am still reading Hannah Witten's The Hemlock Queen. Bear with me. I'll get there. It's okay. Lindsay, what about you?
Hey, guys, it's Lindsay. I have been reading The Network Effect by Martha Wells and then also Black Leopard, Red Wolf by Marilyn James.
Ooh, cute. Love.
That's a good one. I'm Tiff, and I just finished up Nettle and Bone by T. Kingfisher. It was really cool, really good. It was kind of like a fairy tale, good for her kind of vibe. Recommend.
Fun.
This is Addie, and I guess everybody else is reading literature, and I'm reading a cowboy romance, as typical.
Yes.
I am reading Homebound by Meredith Trapp. I really loved her first novel or book. As the people say, her literature, Icebound, which is her hockey romance. So I was like, why not just try her cowboy romance?
My two interests and my sexuality, cowboys and hockey players.
Hockey ice. Players.
Oh, I was
the
like,
two
ice?
Smelliest
That's
of
an
romance.
Ice Midwestern of you.
As a Minnesotan, yes to the ice. Anyway, okay. Yes. I'm Kelsey. Hello. I am currently reading Not Giving Up. It's by Thea Mason and Jenny Peck because, one, yes, it's an Omegaverse book. And I'm doing research. Don't worry about it. Two, yes, it's about the Olympics. And I'm still thinking about that. I can't help it. So yeah, very, very icy part two.
And just to clarify, it is K-N-O-T, giving up.
I was going to say, I was like, what kind of not here?
Oh, the kind that's fun.
The kind that gets stuck, my friend.
Kind that gets stuck. Oh, no.
Hot.
Mary, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
And I am Xland, Crossland, and I am reading The Cuckoo by Leo Carew and Happy Place by Emily Henry.
Yay!
I'm so proud of you.
Only 6 months late.
Finally!
Seriously.
I have a whole story about The Happy Place. I'm like halfway in, but I rotated it to keep myself awake a couple weeks ago. So while I was driving late at night.
Good.
It kept me awake the
Yay.
Whole time.
So. Yeah, it's captivating.
Respect.
It is.
Just wait till you start crying. Mm-hmm.
I still hope that in spring we'll do an Emily Henry, you know, whatever episodes. That's what we do. We're on a podcast.
That's what these are.
Mary's like, oh, shit.
What do we?
There we go.
Yeah. Speaking of episodes, this week we're dragging you down into the depths of hell with our favorite Death Daddy, Hades, and captain of the Stockholm Syndrome Club, Persephone from Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair. So if Yay. You're joining us again, we hope you're down for a sexy, slutty time, and we are going to give it to you. You're welcome.
Not physically. Just over your ears.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
Orally.
That's
you gotta pay
Patreon.
Extra for that.
Patreon.com/booksandbaddiespod. On this episode, we're also going to be covering some of our hot takes on romanticy, spice, mommy issues, and whether or not Crossland can pass a basic Greek mythology quiz designed for fourth graders.
Love.
Bring it.
He's like, I read Percy Jackson one time. I am ready.
He is ready.
I reread it this last year.
Oh,
you're
super smart.
Broke. That tracks.
Because of the TV show.
Because of the TV show.
Yeah,
for the TV show.
That tracks.
But before we can really begin, it needs to be said that no matter what we say in this episode, because we will shit talk a little bit. Hi, you've listened to us before. But we do really love Hades and Persephone retellings.
That is
Wait,
true.
Do you now?
Sure fucking do.
You do?
Sure do. She There's do. A whole episode about it. Hopefully you've listened. Duh.
Yeah. Make sure to check out our latest Hades and Persephone tropisode, genresode, umbrella episode.
We cover such interesting topics as, like, are retellings just an extension of fan fiction?
Is historical fiction just extended fan fiction?
Is everything fan fiction?
Big if true.
I wish it was.
Oh my God. All right, Addie.
It's actually your name.
Oh, yes. Pardon me.
YN.
YN, yes.
Just call me YN from the future now.
It's Mrs. YN to you.
YN Malfoy, I believe, is the proper title for Addie.
Oh, I was going to go Styles, but Malfoy works too.
Uh-huh.
Really?
But really, actually...
Really? I don't believe you for a second.
But really, actually, go listen to it. Kelsey, Lindsay, and I just chant Hades and Persephone a lot. It's a good time.
Hades, Persephone.
Hades, Persephone.
Hades,
Persephone.
Woo!
Woo!
Okay,
that's
really
what it is. Just in a nutshell.
Persephone anon.
We really Persephone anon.
A what? Anyway,
if you took a shot every time we chanted or like said something silly on this podcast, you might just end up drunk enough to be on Words and Whiskey, huh?
Yeah,
you've heard of drunk, but then there's PJ reading Morningstar for the first time drunk.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
On a wrap up episode,
legend
for
has it he's
drunk,
still drunk.
Yes.
Kind of sad. Honestly,
well, I'm
yes.
here for the chance. I am pro chanting. Let the record
thank
show.
You.
Hell
thank
yeah, you put it on my ticket. Yeah, pro chance.
Now that we have hit our chant minimum for the episode, though, let's get into it. It's time to touch that darkness, babes.
Yes.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes. Let's start with our leading lady of the episode, author Scarlett St. Clair.
Ooh, shit, it's mommy wiki or wiki. I can't even say it, Lord.
Wiki mama.
Wiki mommy time.
Burr, 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 burr. Okay, no pictures. No pictures, please. I'm really busy. Thank you. All right, but in all seriousness, so according to her website, Scarlett St. Clair is from Oklahoma and is a citizen of the Muscogee Nation. Please correct me if I said that wrong. I did look up the pronunciation, but my vowels be voweling. Please support Indigenous authors, y'all. Scarlett is originally a self-published her work, but in 2021, her series A Touch of Darkness went TikTok viral and she was picked up by Bloom Books. She's now a USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestselling author. She has 18 works as of this episode. I might need to double check that, but I'm pretty sure it's correct. Seven of which are part of the A Touch of Darkness world.
Yeah, and she also has the King of Battle and Blood series with Adrian and Isolde, which is super fun. But honestly, I don't remember anything that happened in that book other than that I had a really, really good time.
Okay, yes, same. I read two of the books in the series, and I think there's like 17 now. I don't remember what happened. I should probably read them again. But also, I'm curious now that I know that about her, if like her Indigenous background, like if there's part of her lore like within the race, and I want to look out for that because that'd be super interesting. But yeah, other than that, I don't remember anything. So
yeah, I truly could not tell you anything that happened in King of Battle and Blood. I just remember hot vampires. That's it. And honestly, yes. Do we even need more? Like, do we?
No.
I don't think
no.
We do.
No.
No.
Not really.
No. I mean, well, thank God we are not talking about that series today.
But speaking of the series we are discussing, can someone remind us what in the Tartarus, which sounds like tartar sauce to me, happened in the steamy Hades and Persephone retelling? What happened?
I mean, I was so distracted thinking about just like the wonderful spice levels in Touch of Darkness that I had to ask ChatGPT to give us a quick summary. And let me tell you, it sounds like the world's best worst summer teen movie. It's like Spy Kids 2 trailer level cheesy, maybe Spy Kids 3D. I don't know. It's pretty ding dang cheesy.
Incredible.
Do you think God stays in heaven because he too lives in fear of what he has created?
Me at this podcast.
That didn't sound anything like Steve Buscemi, but you know the energy.
I know it's Steve Buscemi.
Buscemi. I want to know the ChatGPT description, Linz. Let's hear it.
Okay, hold on. Let me get into character.
Your best Siri voice.
Picture this. A kick-ass mortal chick named Persephone navigating the chaos of New Athens University. But hold up. Things get spicy when she crosses paths with none other than Hades himself, who's rocking the moral alias Aiden Onanopoulos.
Is that true?
Hold on.
No. We're talking what? Forbidden love, goddess level independence, and a campus life that's way more than just midterms and frat parties. The story takes the classic Hades and Persephone myth, throws it in a blender with contemporary sass, and serves it up with a side of romantic tension hotter than Aphrodite's Instagram feed.
Oh my God.
As a social media manager, I can confirm. But unfortunately for you, I don't give that kind of advice for free. So as much as I want to keep talking about Instagram feeds, I think we should just get into the setting of A Touch of Darkness.
Yes. But Lindsay, that blew me away. And I hope that goes straight to VHS. That was awesome. It's important to note, I'll get serious, that this Hades and Persephone retelling is an urban fantasy. So there's cell phones, TVs, even Alexis. So just wrap your brain around that.
Scarlett St. Clair, the people need to know, are you sponsored by Lexus?
The important questions. So.
It's like the Avengers and Audis. They just go one like hand in hand, you know? Well, Persephone lives in New Athens, which is basically New York City, the Big Olive, if you will.
Yeah.
Not even 5 minutes into the podcast, and you are already quoting a Disney movie. I love Hercules, but that was a record for you. It's like 5.5 minutes.
I'm proud. I was revved up. I was ready to go. I had the references locked and loaded. Yes. All right. So New Athens has districts filled with restaurants, clubs. They're all owned by specific gods and goddesses. So that they're like the landlords. It's important to know.
Yeah, they're basically all Zeus's Nepo babies, is what you're saying.
Yes. And I love that we all always say Nepo baby. This is great.
I had to get it in. I shoehorned it in a little bit.
Someone's gotta
and
do it.
Like, yes. I did that for you, girl. I did it for you.
For some reason, all these gods and goddesses own their own nightclubs.
This feels just like Nashville. New Nashville.
Yes. Sorry, Morgan Wallen. You're not allowed in. So Hades owns Nevernight, where people like dance, drink, make life-altering bets with the Death Daddy himself upstairs. It's all very fun and casual.
Can we talk about, okay, sidetrack note, we were joking about being sponsored by Lexus. Can we talk about how Persephone's best friend's name is Lexa? Who invites her to the club and then like dips and disappears. First of all, what kind of friend is that? And second off, I'm connecting the dots, Scarlett. You can't hide this from me. You're sponsored by Lexus. You can't trick me.
Ugh.
Okay, but also like Lexus is not a good friend, so maybe she's not because she just kind of
Lexus
dips.
Is fast. Lexus is fast and Lexa ran away fast. Like I'm seeing the commonalities too. The other thing is once she disappears, Persephone just like runs upstairs on her own.
Yeah, never go upstairs at the club. Never. Bad.
Wait.
Nope.
Why?
Hard no. Hard pass.
Wait, why?
What's upstairs?
What? Why?
Homework and taxes. I don't know. Don't go there.
Okay. That sounds horrible.
You don't want to go up there.
I'll call you before I go next time.
That's the bad place.
Yes.
Also, through Nevernight is the entrance into the underworld, because like obviously hell is a club, and then once you enter the underworld, it's similar to like traditional Greek mythology and how that describes it. It's got like all these rivers and it's dark and it's moody. It's spooky, scary. I love it. Rivers.
Yeah, the underworld, it's got rivers. It's terrifying.
It's got rivers.
So yeah, the underworld is like, if I pictured it more like old school fantasy, so dark, a little grimy, kind of cavey. I don't know. Like it felt like the sky was very low ceiling, which was way more of my vibe. I'm more of an old timey fantasy girly, you know?
More bubonic plague, less COVID-19. Yeah.
Exactly. You so get me. You so get me.
I mean, I'm personally more of an Edward Cullen Spanish influenza girly, but I'm vibing. I'm vibing
mood,
there with you.
Same.
So, not to get us off topic, but in classic Addy fashion, I did go look at AO3 because I was like, there's got to be something about Edward Cullen having Spanish influenza and like someone having to write this like deep, dark lore of things. I couldn't find anything, which like very upset me because there was in fact a tag for Spanish influenza. However, I did find a lot of Edward Carlisle.
No.
Stop.
And it made me uncomfy.
I don't like that.
And I didn't know there was such a crowd for that. So we're going to talk about that another time because
not to yuck yums, but I don't like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I got the ick real quick and I feel like it's for another time. But anyway, speaking of another time, This isn't like the medieval tavern type of read, I will say. This is a 2010s high school skinny jeans type of
skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's vintage.
Okay. Gen Z, please don't come at us. I love my skinny jeans.
Oh, no.
Yes.
They're really comfy.
They have so much stretch. They're so stretchy. They have so much to them.
Yeah, but or you could wear pants that don't feel like pants. They're just big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I just need to go shopping.
Yay.
Shopping trip. Chase your bliss, but I'm judging a little.
Someone take me jeans shopping. That's the moral of this whole episode.
I will.
Okay.
And
okay.
Can I come, Lindsay? Can I come?
Yeah. Also, Addie, you can also wear whatever you want. If you're cozy, you're cozy.
Yes. Very true.
Love you.
Yes. All right. So, but for real, is it really a romanticy if the author doesn't write the word like gossamer when describing the one gown the protagonist wears during the ball scene? So, which actually I think does happen in this book, so she gets points for that. But it's moments of traditional fantasy, touch of darkness, but mostly urban fantasy, which for me kind of meh about. Like I talked about this in the 3-3-C episode. That's not what it is. CC3. I talked about in the Cook-a-3 episode. Like bringing a cell phone to the Prithian, I didn't love it. I don't want electricity in my fantasy. I don't need to know that there's flushable toilets. Please let me be free.
Dobby is a free elf. We talked about it in CC3, and I personally love urban fantasy. I think that it's funny. I know that it can like take people out of the world, but like I think it's objectively funny that she's like doing magic in a greenhouse, trying to grow things, and then later we like pan to her and she's typing on a MacBook. Like that's so funny to me. I love
it. See, Tiff, this is what breaks it for me. I want the magic in the greenhouse, and then I want them to go sneak away from the ball to make love under her ridiculously big dress and drinking port and eating a turkey leg in a feast at the royal table. I want it as like Jane Austen as it comes.
That's so valid. I get it. I like it. I think that it adds like a little bit more relatability that lets me drop into the story a little bit easier. Like I don't have issues dropping into books, but it adds a little bit of extra flavor. Like it lets me put myself in the shoes a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's funny because I like the mix of the magical and the mundane in that way. Like in this air, in this like space where humans have figured out how to do technology, there are still gods and mystical things that like can't be explained, and I think that that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Totally,
that is fun. You're right, which is why I liked it.
Yeah.
Also, R.I.P. to Greenhouse Jail.
Rip.
Oh, yeah. Rip.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Never yeah, unfortunately.
I know, but really, like it was super fucked up that her mom locked her up in a greenhouse to keep her hidden. Like big toxic mom energy. I don't think I need to spell that out. Yeah. And we can get to mommy issues later. Like I'll save it.
Wikipedia mommy issues, other issues.
Oh yes,
different mommy issues.
Different mommy issues.
Wikipedia mommy has issues, but not that kind. Like magazine issues.
Mine are
It's
more
called
about
her competitor, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It's called irritable bowel syndrome, if truly, I'm being honest. Truly. But
hot girls have tummy issues.
Amen.
Honestly.
Amen. I love this book and I love the series. I think it's so fun. I don't know if any of you have ever felt this way, but sometimes to me it felt like Miss Scarlet originally wrote this as some sort of contemporary romance, but then at the last minute was like, ooh, but what if it was fantasy romance? I don't know if it was like a marketing thing or if like halfway through she had a change of heart or what, but and I don't know, maybe it's a style thing that's just like also kind of fun, but at first was off-putting to me. I don't know. The only fantasy elements were like the mythological names and then some like vague mentions of magic. So to me, it's not like fantasy first. It's like mythology plus contemporary romance with some fantasy. I don't know if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But at least
it
still felt more fantasy though than like neon gods, in my opinion. So it's like somewhere between there and fantasy.
Yeah. Which I know.
You do. You sure do.
You do.
Yeah.
I loved Promises and Pomegranates. I wasn't on the Hades and Persephone episode, but I loved it.
Good. Good, good, good. I mean, Lindsay, I'm there with you. I hear what you're saying. I really enjoy the urban fantasy aspect of it, too. I found that the magic system, like, no matter how underdeveloped, they're really easy to plop into when they exist in a, like, quote-unquote real world. So that makes it kind of like an easy read, in my opinion. And especially as like a vibe reader or a reader with a vibrator, both are accurate. I appreciate that it takes just less work for me, like for my three brain cells to get into the story. I appreciate
that. So what I'm hearing, Kelsey, is that you want to vibrator read.
Yes.
I like to be a lazy little reader. I like to lay in the dark under a cozy blankie have my stuffy from the zoo.
Sometimes you need a book that like you could read with your eyes kind of closed and you still are like reading it, you know, like not an eyes wide open book, not lights on, but just kind of like a, you know, this is an audio medium, Cross, don't say it. I know, but they know what I mean. Yeah. Like not every fantasy book needs a deep magic system and 10 characters with similarly spelled names, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cough, looking at Sarah J. Maas's direction. Cough, cough.
Yes. Camera
or
pans left.
JLA. Or JLA.
Oh, my JLA. JLA having like the cute, scrappy, I'm not that far in those books yet, but like the Sarah and Nyctos, but like their friend is Nyctos. Like that's fucked up.
So silly.
Yes. Jennifer, you deserve jail for that.
Jennifer.
You do.
Well, I was going to say, it's now August 2024. It's taken me 8 months now to realize who the Hound, the Harpy, the Hind are. I've had this book for 8 months. I have no idea. All went over there in the corner. I have no idea. I'm just fucking
rude. We have a resource for you, Addie.
Feel free to listen to our Crescent City 3 episode where we took 2.5 hours and we also didn't explain who they are.
Literally no idea. Does anybody remember what happened in that book? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
I don't. No idea.
Sometimes.
Fantasy.
Yes.
Yes.
Some of us don't have that kind of brain.
Episode.
But you know, some of us are built different. What we will and what we can explain is who Persephone and Hades are in this retelling. So that's fortunate.
Yay!
Who would like to do the honors?
Ooh. I'll start us off. Let's start with Persephone. So she is telling us her story. This book is from her perspective and it's in first person, which I personally think is the best option for a book like this. And she's a college student with an internship at the paper New Athens News.
That is such a dumb name. That's a dumb name for a paper.
It's so dumb.
So dumb. No, there's so many. Yes, there's so many better options. The Chronicle, the Iliad, the Odyssey, anything. I understand. Those are already taken names, but like, so New Athens News also probably had to be taken. I don't buy it.
This is for the newsies. No, Mary will always understand my jokes like this.
And the world will know.
We're going to get copyright struck if you guys sing more Disney songs.
Okay, that's as much as legally allowed.
Yeah. So she's living away from her mom, Demeter, for the first time, which is like a whole thing, like we mentioned earlier, because her mom is super controlling and like excessively commanding over her life.
Yeah, Persephone is very naive, but she's also very excited about freedom. She's like, this whole journey is her kind of like stepping away from being what I think is under the claws of her mom and then like coming into herself, making her own decisions, while also shaking off the guilt of not following exactly what her mom says. And we love that for her. It's growth.
Yeah, it's Brat summer for Persephone.
Absolutely.
And for Hades, we don't know much about him at the beginning of the story, but we start to learn bits and pieces about him as Persephone does too.
Yeah.
Like we kind of talked about it, but we learned that he's a club owner, as previously mentioned. He's super secretive. He doesn't show himself in public. And even though like many of the other gods in this universe have very like influencer-esque lives, he's very private.
He also lets mortals trade their souls in bargains during a card game.
Like, who the fuck? What regulatory body is letting this old man play young, vulnerable people at the club that he owns at poker for their souls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their entire being. Excuse me? Yeah.
Lindsay's like, I have questions and I would like to be a representative.
Yeah. It's a choice with a capital C. It's a choice.
One last thing. We do know that Hades spends a lot of the time in this book navigating his role as the ruler of the underworld, like what it means to his people and how much they want to see the real him. And especially because he has this interesting power dynamic of obviously being their ruler, but being alive and them all being dead. And it's really fascinating watching him figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And with a lot of help from his love, Persephone, too. Oh. I think she really sees him for who he really is. And it's beautiful to like sort of see him, maybe this is later in the series, but more so come into who he actually is, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. And speaking of, let's talk about Hades and Persephone's romance.
I have a hot take for all of you.
Let's hear it.
What is it?
I feel like Hades and Persephone, in most forms, kind of gives hot topic high school couple, both like complimentary and derogatorily.
Yes. Oh my God. It is giving big RAR-XD vibes. Like 100%.
Right? That kind of like ruins it, yes, and makes it better at the same time.
I don't know. Okay. I need to know like who is wearing the Cookie Monster pajama pants in the relationship.
No, Persephone. She does. Absolutely. Yes. He just wants her to be comfortable. And if that means that she's wearing a Blood on the Dance Floor t-shirt and Cookie Monster PJ pants to school, that's what she's doing.
You just described half of my student body. It's terrifying.
Huh?
In high school.
I have like such a specific like vision of where these people stood at my high school, like where in the school they stood before and after school. I know exactly who they are.
Well, now they stand in the depths of hell as the rulers. So good on them, I guess. I should have been like, you know, more buddy-buddy. That's on me. But yeah, I don't know. So Persephone, one thing that she is like, she immediately, this is like really what did it for me at the beginning of the book. And I was like, I cannot put this down. She immediately talks about his smell, which always makes me feral. It's like smoke and like oaky whiskey. It's all just like fucking hot. When they start smelling each other, I'm like, we are in. Let's go.
Let's go.
So we're putting this on a candle. I would like this on a candle. Like smoky, oaky, whiskey, feet stuff.
Oh God. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Now that you've repeated it back to me, I'm realizing I might be attracted to Gimli from Lord of the Rings. So probably see myself.
Mary is looking for a man in finance. 6'5", blue eyes.
Oh,
I'm just chronically online. I'm really sorry.
But never apologize for being who you are, for living your truth.
Never apologize for being everything the light touches is your kingdom. No, but oh God.
That's number four.
Damn it. No, but literally though, Hades is Gimli, but like 6'5", I mean, no. Otherwise, they're exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to have the, live under I'm a looking mountain. For a man in finance. Blue people have like, stuck axe. In my head.
You can well, have okay. axe.
I want to get axed by Hades.
I'm thinking of axe body spray. I don't think it's the same thing.
No. Okay, well, one thing about their relationship that we love is that it's enemies to lovers. Wah, wah, wah. Content. And at the beginning, Hades is absolutely a villain in Persephone's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Which we love.
We do love. And another thing I love, and also kind of makes me cringe a lot, you don't gotta wait until the third act for that miscommunication trope, baby. Don't worry. It's there the whole fucking time. Like, you're good. So, basically, and like Persephone thinks Hades entraps souls into contracts for his own benefit. We learn the truth later. But to be fair, though, he makes these deals in the deep, dark corners of his sleazy club. So, I don't think she was wrong for being like, you're a dick and I can't trust you.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So for
he's not helping himself out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For some context, we talked about it a little bit, how Persephone went upstairs at the club, but Persephone plays a game of cards with Hades, which causes her to open a contract with him. So that's what we're kind of chatting about. And I get that it's supposed to be scary, but I personally just found it to be super hot.
like yes. Surprise there's to no one.
So there's something so sexy about evil men being terrible to everyone,
about
but not to
boy.
You. But not to yeah. you. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Gotcha. Like Hades is bad, but he's also not bad. And as a treat, can we be not like other girls? you're not bad for me.
It's better. I don't like guys that are dicks unless they're only nice to me.
Yeah. So true, Bestie.
All right, I approve of us being not like other girls in this one instance, and it's to have hot tantric sex with a god, so it works.
Yes, 100%. And they always have to be like high contrast, like dark hair or white hair.
Yes,
nothing in between. Yes, we talk about this in every episode, and I refuse to for us like to be stopped. Like I want it repeated forever.
Draco Malfoy.
It's so hot.
It's so hot. Has no business being that hot.
Well, I just like truly love this man. I might soapbox a little bit. I'm going to try really hard not to. But like one of my absolute favorite things, like I'm just obsessed with Hades. One of my absolute favorite things is that he is always asking Persephone, are you well? At every single chance, he is checking in on her throughout their entire relationship through the whole book, from when they first meet to later when they're lovers. He is always saying, are you well?
Can I request that you do it in his deep, dark voice one more time?
Are you well?
Oh, Persephone. Thank you.
Are you well? Are you well?
Are you well?
Like, just talk about that kind of check-in. Like, so, no, but it's sexy, but considerate. And, like, their relationship is so fucking hot. At one point, he, like, picks her up and carries her through his entire house to his bed. And later admits it so everyone in his palace knows that they were going to fuck. Like, he's just like, I want them to know how into you I am.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that kind of thing is, like, always amazing. And I don't know if it's, like, a, like, light exhibitionism thing or what, but it's just, it always gets...
It's absolutely, 100%. I feel like it's absolutely exhibitionism, which is sexy. I know Lindsay and I have discussed this. I don't know if on the air we have, but we fucking love that shit. Yeah, we love
hell
it.
Yeah. Hell
100%.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got to Google this really quick. Can you spell exhibitionist?
Mary, don't. Not it's on just, your...
It's,
not,
just, it's no. just fucking with an audience.
It's what?
It's just fucking with an audience. Showbiz, baby.
I never thought it would be this hot. And then I read this book and I was like, okay, I get it. I'm there. Wowza. That emoji is going...
And there's this one scene that is burned into my horny little brain, and I don't think I'm alone. And I feel like if the other baddies, if we're all vibing with it, I think we should make Crossland read it so all the baby baddies can enjoy it.
Oh, Lord.
If the council were astute, they would agree. Sure. All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
All right.
Aye. And Hades thought he was in hell, man.
Plug your ears, Lindsay. Just plug your ears. Yeah, so before we subject Lindsay to light torture, Tari, and all of our baddies to Crossland's seductive daddy voice, some background. This scene takes place during a ball that's thrown in the underworld that includes those in the afterlife and a few other gods connected to Hades. Scene is set.
Oh, God, Crossland, I'm nervous.
Action. Take it away.
Are you displeased? She asked after some time. Am I displeased that you've danced with Charon and Hermes? He asked. Is that what she was asking? She stared at him, and he leaned forward, pressing his lips against her ear. I am displeased that I'm not inside you. She tried not to smile. My lord, why didn't you say so? His eyes darkened. Careful, goddess. I have no qualms taking you before my whole realm.
The way that I would,
I don't know if that made it
turn bright as a tomato if someone said that to me in public.
No. Baby girl, you are bright red currently.
Mary, you did immediately redden.
Very red.
I'm laughing so
I mean, this
I'm
is very
crying.
Much one of those things that's like way better in fantasy than it is in reality, at least for me. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They are.
Mary so is bright red.
Mary, are you okay? Do you need to take a second, girl?
I'm good. No, they're just dramatic motherfuckers at those parties. Like, and that reminds me, the Big Olive rips off of Manhattan in numerous ways, okay, obviously. And one of them being their version of the Met Gala, which, by the way, I need some good fan art of Steffi's dress. ASAP, I was digging for many moons.
Right? Like, I feel like we could literally have an entire episode on what they're wearing and their version of the Met Gala.
Who are you wearing this tonight? Who are you wearing tonight? I'm actually so embarrassed that I never made that connection, that it was their Met Gala.
That's okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's I think being chronically online.
To be fair, I think I actually was reading it during the Met Gala, and I went, look up, look down, look up, look down. And I went, son of a bitch.
There it is. It's on my screen.
Yeah. I didn't see Persephone there, which was weird. Anyway, sorry. Moving on. All at the gala. So Persephone, is all pissy because Hades' assistant, Minth, is how I say
yep.
her. Okay,
yep.
Great. Minth. Thank you. He's there on his arm, even though Hades said Minth wasn't his date. And it like completely revs her up, which is exactly the reaction I think he was looking for. This is something I like about them too. Like their miscommunication's kind of fun because they know how to play with each other a little bit. And it's like their foreplay. I totally admire it. Like they just push each other's buttons, you know? It's kind of hot.
It is very hot. I'm half with you. I agree that it could potentially be pushing her buttons. I also think he's just blind to men. Did not think could about be. Her twice. And so just didn't even like process that she would perceive it that way, but I could be swayed in either direction. I will say, speaking of men, I loved that Hades was super into the fact that Persephone turned her into a plant after the whole shakedown of everything. Like, just was like, you're gonna basically commit a, like, break the Geneva Convention, which probably doesn't exist in this book, but like, you're gonna like brutally transform someone and ruin the end of their days and be like, that's so hot, Persephone. I love that you are like in your power and in yourself. Sexy. Yes.
I love this trope. I don't know if it's a trope or what you would call it, but I love it. I just love when the love interest is like into the main character being a little bit emotional or petty or like vengeful. Yeah. I don't know. It does it for me.
Me too. Me too. Which is why I think, Kelsey, like, it's right and wrong. Like, he did not seem meant that way, but he knew that she would. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he knew, right. I firmly believe he knew what he was doing. And they're minor war criminals for each other. And if it takes Mint being turned into a plant for him to get laid, so be it. It's out of his hands. What's he supposed to do?
We really support war criminals and their war crimes for love in this podcast.
Yes.
Like, it comes up a lot.
Really.
Our
do.
FBI agents are probably very concerned.
Hey, Jeff.
As they should be. Jeff.
I also love... Who's Jeff? Your war? Is this Jeff, your FBI guy?
Jeff, my agent.
He's our love FBI Jeff. Guy, yeah.
Oh, sure. Find out he's the us. FBI guy for Atomic Pylon Media.
Yep.
They're very understaffed.
It's a problem.
Well, especially tracking Kelsey's search history. Like, they need like five people on that team. like, what?
It's very concerning. It's
yours
very concerning.
Is like, what is exhibitionism? Why don't I go upstairs at the club?
and mine is like deep, dark things that shall never be repeated.
Yes.
How to tell your friends what nodding is.
Yeah.
How to tell your friends what a
how
reverse
to make,
harem
how
is.
To make deal with Hades in hell.
.com.
This sex scene in Wiki Katie had. Robert book does not make sense. Please explain. Like, okay, sorry.
No, that's so good. And yes, I love it. I love you, Kelsey. But
thank you.
Back to Hades being like
yes.
willing to have someone be murdered if it means he gets to sleep with his lady. I also love that he like just wants her to dom him a little bit. He's straight up like,
yeah. So bad.
Run my business. Be the CEO. Here's the top floor office with the good view. I don't give a fuck. Fix my underworld. Wear my crown. He wants her to take over. He's a trad wife. And I think it's awesome.
Yes.
Every episode.
Hades is the trad wife. Oh, I did nearly forget about the crown thing. That was like such a hot scene. After he crowns Persephone, they play strip poker and he basically demands to fuck her while she keeps the crown on, which, again, I don't know if I could do it in reality, but in fantasy, it slaps. It fucking slaps.
Yeah. I think Iron Flame tried to do that and they failed. So they did it better.
I agree.
You saw it. You heard it first.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a little bit of a topic change if we're open to it. I have to complain. Thank you. I have to complain about Persephone's employment in this urban fantasy.
Yeah. I have to complain. Full stop.
I have to complain, this period.
Fantasy. We love a hater.
Urban fantasy. Yes, we are haters. We are lovers and haters, but especially haters. All right. Here's what I got. Our girl Persephone gets an internship as a journalist at New Athens News,
boop.
As previously mentioned. Great. Good for you, girl. Get it. But the way that they describe her job gets me so riled up. After writing one article about Hades, which we'll get to, she suddenly gets this like entire whole damn column, which is not how these things work, like at all.
No, it's like, it's totally giving 13 going on 30, where the main character, I think played by Jennifer Garner, right, is essentially very high up editor at Vogue at age 30 years old. And I'm like, come on. In no world.
Okay. Right? Like Carrie Bradshaw writing one single column a week in Sex and the City. And still yes. She lives in like this gorgeous Manhattan apartment and she buys like really nice, expensive shoes and eats out for every meal.
Yes. All right. Speaking of, I actually just started Sex and the City for the first time ever. So that's highly on topic for me. So.
Okay, Charlotte.
Yeah.
She does give Charlotte.
Really?
I also haven't seen it, so
she
no
seems
I
haven't like either. A Republican, though.
No,
is it the short? They all are. Don't worry
there's
about
no
that.
Way.
Just remember when it was filmed.
Yeah, don't worry. No, we love Charlotte. We love Carrie. Okay, back to this.
Yeah. All right. So actually, I have a question. Speaking of Persephone's column,
This keeps me up at night. Rapid fire. Name a column that Persephone wrote but ended up in her drafts folder. Go.
Ooh. Ooh. 10 reasons why my mom still has my location.
Snaps. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Dead people. They're just like us.
7 sex positions to try with your new god boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Moving on from that question, Mary, I want to get back to why journalism is portrayed that way.
My I want to move on to anything else.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that. One thing, I mean, okay, so I'm sorry that I'm complaining about it, but I do honestly have recs for decent journalism books because this is just not it if that's what you're looking for.
Please share the recs. I want to know, though. That sounds so fun.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I will try to share them quickly because they are really good and I want you all to read them. First and foremost, Funny You Should Ask by Alyssa Susan. This is a journalist who interviews a celebrity hottie and they basically fall in love. It's delightful. It has the best writing style for journalism that I have read in a while. My review on Goodreads says, I'm just going to quote it because it's way easier to remember anything I've ever fucking put through my brain because I wrote about it on Goodreads. As someone who moonlights as a journalist, too many books fudge the tone of a news or blog article for my taste, but Sussman nails it like a breath of fresh air woven effortlessly through Channing and Gabe's time together. It's delightful. You should read it. Two other options to choose from are The X Talk by Rachel Lynn Solomon, which is a radio talk show, still journalism. It's great. And Divine Rivals by Rebecca Ross.
Oh, yeah.
They are wartime. Yes, fantasy journalists who fall in love. Even cute. Better. So there you go. If you want real journalism, adjacent books.
I liked the tuck behind the ear when you said that. Real journalism, tuck behind
you
the
are
ear.
Real, like, real journalism. Journalism.
She's not like other journalists.
Yeah. Persephone is, as in the Disney Channel original series, a dog with a blog. And that
Tiff,
is it.
That was Mary, not me. Just
that will be reference number 7.
Mary, both not me. Doing this. I don't know why you think throwing Mary under the bus is going to be a benefit for you. You're both like this.
I have love only both of you. Brought up somebody with a name in a movie/book series that I really like only one time.
All right, Disney adult time, saving for later.
Fully kept. That's,
in that's my defense, the person I was going to bring up is not Disney.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll put our Disney adult content on our Feet Finder account. Back to journalism. I'm so sorry. I'm truly not off this topic. I need to keep talking about it. There is one thing I do like about Persephone's journalism role within this book is I love how Hades navigates it. Persephone writes this article about him, about how he's a villain in the underworld. And there's a whole thing about, you know, what happens with it. A draft gets published that she didn't want. And it's a pretty rough take on Hades. And he's like understandably extremely upset when it's first published.
It is pretty scathing, but like I think that it is how Persephone and everybody else sees him at first.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think you're totally right. And they talk about it, and like Hades listens to her criticisms and then makes actual changes. She calls him out for fucking with people's lives by gambling for their souls, and he launches a whole nonprofit thing that like supports those who are disadvantaged in New Athens.
Fantasy nonprofit. Hell yeah. I love it and I'm totally with you. And also it's a little bit giving divorced dad who finds himself after meeting a college spring breaker on the beach in Bali.
Oh my God. Hey. Did I just watch that movie on Netflix?
You might have. Totally. Sounds I mean, Lizzie, like that's it. Both hilarious and fair. Like I really do love that. While Hades was frustrated that like Persephone wanted to keep writing this column, it didn't stop him from desiring her. That was mostly what I appreciated.
Yeah.
That like he was like, do your thing, girl, but like I still find you, even though you're making me angry, I'm still attractive and I'm still attracted to you and I still desire you and who you are fully. So
totally.
Yeah. Even if
and
she's
he's attractive also.
Yes.
Yes.
Aligned.
100%.
Aligned.
Well, yeah, no, I agree. I think that's really hot when it's not like, well, and that's like the least toxic thing about them, right? Is that they had all these disagreements and yet they still just wanted each other. And it wasn't like you have to change you for me to like you. I mean, Hades had to change a little bit. Well, and what's hot as fuck about this is that Hades truly worships Persephone, which is very interesting. It activates her power, which was hiding deep within her for the very first time. Ooh la la.
I think we can all totally agree that like worship kindling her power is so fucking hot. It's like a praise kink, but take it to the next level and woo, boy howdy. Oh. It sure does something.
Boy howdy.
Yeehaw.
I love that it catalyzes Persephone to believe in herself, you know, and like not that she needs somebody else's affirmation, don't get me wrong. But it certainly, you know, it helps. It doesn't hurt. Like, you'd be lying if you were ever to say that getting gassed up by somebody else didn't make you a little bit more confident, you know?
Yeah.
It's just sometimes so empowering to see yourself through someone else's point of view to fully embrace your power. And I love that we sort of got to see that via Persephone in live time.
Oh, I loved it so much. Like, I was into it. We were all into it. And you know, like, Persephone's mother kept her hidden away, which is what stopped her from coming into her power originally. And so her relationship with Hades, especially their physical relationship and this praise and this worship, just unlocks her and catapults her into this like really beautiful self-discovery.
Is it time for us to circle back around and talk about Mommy Dearest now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
It Unfortunately.
Is time. Yeah. Because for every empowering mafia god hubby, we have a overpowering manipulative dance mom hellbent on controlling their only child's life. So yeah, it gave me yes. just like that skin crawly feeling so often whenever she'd come on the scene and just sink her claws deeper and deeper into Persephone's like what's the word like her agency. Like she wanted to keep pulling it back, keeping it to herself. And I don't read a lot of fantasy where parents are helicopters because their parents are usually dead. So that was new for me. But in Touch of Darkness, Demeter like actively tries to keep Persephone's powers from showing themselves. More details on why revealed in like books 2 and 3. And in addition to that, well, because of wanting to keep her powers hidden away, she wants to keep her from meeting Hades because that's going to fulfill this type of problem. But oddly enough, Hades kind of puts up with Demeter's shit in most of book 1, which I found odd because he's very much a take no prisoners kind of guy.
Sure.
But I don't know. I think in a way, it was out of respect for Persephone that he would take a step back when Demeter was being very intrusive into their life as well as hers and like let her handle it up until a point. He wanted her to get to the point where she could say, Mom, you need to fuck off versus it coming from him where it's not going to mean as much.
Is this why all main characters are orphans in fantasy novels? Like, is this complexity why they don't get to have fucking parents? Crazy.
It's too complicated to write. Yeah.
Too much.
I mean, Mary, I'm glad you brought it up. When I was reading it, I felt like Hades was silent because he wanted to let Persephone stand up to her mother herself. He wanted to empower her to, you know, resolve her own trauma and not take over her emotional baggage by solving it for her. So to me, it felt like it was like him letting her sort through her own shit.
Totally. I appreciate that he did that while also pumping her up and encouraging her from behind the scenes a bit. It was a good balance. I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, and like in real life, you want to know that your spouse has your back with your family, especially when it comes to like the intricacies of your parents. And Hades could have done something similar here. When it comes to parents, sometimes we can revert back to like our childhood selves and we can't necessarily engage with them as adults. I'm not talking about all the time, but like there are moments where you're just kind of like, like that's Mommy Dearest. That's the one in charge. And like to have your spouse there to like pump you up, get you back into your adult brain. And like you can treat them as fellow adult in this. So I feel like there could have been a little bit more like, come on, Seffy, you got this. Come on. But yeah.
Yeah, that's super fair. I mean, is there any specific part in the book that you think he should have stepped in or intervened?
Lindsay, please don't ask me to remember the book I read for a podcast. I know nothing.
Relatable.
That's so fair.
I feel it.
Yeah.
But yes, I do. I mean, I think there was a time where she like showed up in her bedroom after he had left and they had like just had sex. I was like, and he seems to be pretty all-knowing, aware of what's happening. I feel like that would have been a good time for him to be like, hey, wait a minute, would I just leave and like come back in there? Because she, if I recall correctly, she was highly disrespectful to Persephone and basically implying that she was like trash for sleeping with Hades. I think it was the night they had that movie night with her roommate. So yeah, that was a moment where I was like, come back, I'm here.
Yeah, I feel like Demeter's shit here is so like accurate to the story, but something about it being like one-sided forbidden, I didn't love as much, but that might be like a skill issue or like a me issue. I feel like it was less like there are forces that are keeping us apart and more your mom hates me, and that is a problem we have to deal with. Like, I didn't love the, like, taking down from, like, we have to have this, like, big event we have to go through to be together, compared to we just have to work through your mommy issues because she's terrible, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when I think about Demeter's past, and it does come, we do learn more about it in the later books. So I don't mean to, like, allude too much to that, because we are talking about touch of darkness, not touch of malice or touch of frustration or whatever it's called. But Demeter is so powerful in the book, but she also feels so powerless. And she, like, clings to her power and her agency so hard. And as a goddess, she's kind of a peasant compared to the other gods, like Zeus and Aphrodite. Like, they all just seem to have a little bit more clout. But I also think sexism is clearly an issue in this culture. There's violence against women in this world. There's, like, some shaming for being, like embracing your sexuality in some ways, and in others, not so much. There's some shame in being in the workplace and, like, wanting to be, like, a girl boss. So I do think she does come from a place of wanting to protect Persephone, but she definitely does not always go about it in a healthy way. And I'm really sad for Demeter, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I felt like my heart kind of, like, went out to her on occasion because she seemed so lonely. But at the same time, like, girl, go to therapy. I don't know.
Go to God therapy.
Yeah. I love this book because I love Hades in it so much. And I love Persephone's journey so much. But, like, this is making me rethink, like, I think the way Scarlett wrote Demeter, that her own, or, like, Demeter's complexities is really fascinating. She's such a, it's so easy to be like, mom, evil, but, like, there is nuance to her choices and her actions. Like, while we can still hold accountable the fact that she, like, fucking sucked, but, like, she's a really interesting character. So I'm glad you're chatting that, Mary. I know one thing I think about, or, like, stands out to me is, you know, Demeter withholding Persephone's ability to develop her powers by hiding her away. I think that greenhouse was a prison for Persephone, and school and her internship really represented her first time of freedom. And, like, throughout the story, Demeter continues to, to use the greenhouse as this threat to keep her daughter in line.
Yeah, it's like the pokey, but, you know, in this world.
the pokey. But yes, It's fascinating that she knew what she was doing, and granted it was to try to protect Persephone in her own sick, twisted way, but that the cruelty of that just reverberates.
It's also this kind of fucked up thing where, like, Demeter assumes that Hades couldn't love Persephone, and that she was, like, Demeter rather was trying to save Persephone from some, like, miserable fate where Hades secretly doesn't love her.
Yeah.
Which, like, kind of took away Persephone's right to choose in the process. But also, what kind of parent thinks, oh, he's too good for you, about their own kid? You know, that made me really sad.
Yes. Yeah. And
that's so valid.
And back to, like, taking away her right to choose, I'm not a third act miscommunication trope stan. Nah. However, she only either had at the beginning of the book, like, Demeter saying, you can never meet him, you can never do that, like, you can never go down to the underworld, be his wife, whatever. And then you had Hades being like, this is our destiny. And it was like, those were the options. But her coming to her own terms of wanting to break the deal with Hades, not because her mom wanted her to, because she wanted to, she was able to have a moment of choice, like, have her agency, tell her mom to fuck off. And it gave her the mojo to continue on her self-discovery, and eventually they found their way back together, obviously.
So true.
I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I feel like we've kind of talked about this scene a little bit when we were talking about, like, standing up to, like, having Hades stand up. But I just, like, near the ending, I got so, so angry that Demeter showed up in Persephone's room just completely unannounced.
Yes.
With, like, just complete disregard for her privacy, even outside the other shit that she did. Like, she had this narcissistic claim to Persephone and a total disregard for her autonomy and her privacy. And I'm just, it infuriates me. She's a good mom villain. It's like, it makes me so mad still.
Yes. And this just popped back into my brain. So bad is help me out here. Didn't she, like, sometimes alter her Persephone's appearance to make her a little bit more like Demeter?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, her hair or something.
Get rid of her freckles. Did someone already
say that? I'm so sorry.
No, we haven't yet. Remembered.
That was, like, I think.
That's, like, the narcissism. I know. Like, she just wanted her daughter to be what she wanted and just didn't understand. Which, to your point earlier, is so sad because I feel like so many choices were taken from Demeter because of, like, her separation from the rest of the gods. And so she's just doing more of that to her own daughter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's fucked
generational
up.
Generational trauma, the book. Yeah, it's just generational trauma. But make
I
it
split
sexy.
The apple down symmetrical lines. Yes.
Stop it. I'm obsessed with scary. That dance.
Just want to drive. Okay. Sorry.
That, but with pomegranates.
Yes. Ooh, yes. Perfect. Literally split the pomegranate.
Someday I will learn.
Brought to the core.
Okay. I did not know. At first, I was like, what is happening? And I went, oh, yeah.
The dance. Yeah, we're doing the dance. You can see it. You can hear the dance.
I love to get the counts right. Being an audio podcast.
This is an audio medium.
This is great. This is a great listening experience for our listeners.
They were doing it with us. Hands off the wheels, ladies.
No, do not do that.
No, hands on the wheels, ladies.
It was a joke. Hands on the wheel. Don't even think about it.
Legally, we are required to tell you that you must drive safely.
I see you, Emma.
10 and legally. 2, please.
I see you, Rachel, Alex.
I think it's actually now 9 and 3.
Changed it. Wherever is comfortable for your hands to be, please.
But on the wheel.
Both on the wheel.
Please, dear God. Like
them noon and 6, pit. Baby.
Noon and 6.
I want six them in my six. Pants.
Let's merge back into the conversation.
Wow. Incredible yes, transition. Okay. I mean, you know, Persephone and her relationship with her mom, Demeter, isn't like the only weird power imbalance thing explored in this book either. There are power balance narratives all yes. over the place.
Mm-hmm. Are we about to talk about that little fucking twerp Adonis?
Sure are.
Fuck them, yeah. kid. Yes. Fuck that kid. Listen, to quote Michael Jordan... Fuck that kid. Fuck Adonis. He drugs Persephone at Aphrodite's club after he invites her out, and then he kisses her without her consent. And I'm just saying that if I ever see Adonis, it's on fucking sight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Fuck curb stomp. Oh. Curb stomp.
Fuck Adonis.
Fuck him.
But also, Hades comes storming in and helps with that one.
Which... I know it's great, and I love a heroic rescue, but could he maybe have also done that with Demeter? That's all I'm saying. And then I'm yes. done with it. I'm done.
Fair.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm over it, I promise.
Fair. No, you're right. You're right.
Adonis. Nice. Fucking dick.
Fuck Adonis.
Okay, so another thing that I hate about Adonis, I hate that he's her coworker.
Yes.
It sucks so hard. He gets her first article published without her consent, too. Like, he's just like, consent? I don't know her. I hate him. I hate him so much. Persephone had written that, like, scathing first draft about Hades and how much, like, he sucked and how terrible he was and stuff. And Adonis sneaks into her computer and sends it to their editor, which is just fucking foul. Don't turn something in before somebody has finished it. Like, I hate this man.
Well, yeah. And then Persephone.
He's getting the people's elbow.
Persephone does tell her editor and he gets fired, but then he like blackmails her to get his job back. Like, that's how you're going to get rehired, buddy. So gross.
It's the blind ego of a man on that one. Jeez.
Yeah. No, it's your tummy like hurts a little bit when you read that part. Like, all of it, honestly. But what I do love is in the end, she threatens him with her power to turn him his arms into silly little plants, which is just like full goddess mode. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Take back your power. Step into it, baby. Yes. And step on him. Step on him so
step
hard.
On him,
but not in a sexy way.
So hard.
But not in a
sexy
way.
In the least sexy way.
No.
And on like a concrete, hot, blacktop way.
Yeah. Crush his eyes. Step on his fingers. Yeah. Fuck that man. Okay, we've talked destroy a lot about him. Hades and Persephone and how much we love them to like go back into the positive realm. Let's talk about her friends that aren't assholes, though.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Hecate was a total fucking badass. Mm-hmm. She was a great friend of Persephone in her journey to self-discovery. Mm-hmm. She got like her mask put together for the whole big masquerade event. She was helping push Persephone and Hades together. She's a little witch in the woods, and I loved her.
Yes.
I loved her.
She's great. She's great. I feel like she always had like little glass bottles tied to her belt. Like, that's the energy she was giving.
She was like, I can kill a man with like one pinch of powder, but I won't today.
Just like, you're welcome.
Yes. Well, and also she like really welcomed Persephone into the underworld, you know, made her part of the community. I think she was one of the biggest reasons why she was a beloved queen is because Hecate like introduced her to everybody, made her a part of the community, got her involved. She was on all the boards, all the committees. Like, she was, yeah, you know what she was doing.
She's doing the grassroots work.
Exactly. Yes. The campaigning from the ground up. And that's also kind of why I love like Hermes' role. He's a total like cheerleader for her. And despite his tomfoolery, he always, at the end of the day, I think is within Persephone's interests. Although it doesn't always work out in her favor. Like, I do think he does have her back. And he calls her Sephi, which is like cute sibling energy. And I think it's adorable and I love it. Yay them.
Yay them. No, but I feel like he's the kind of annoying, but also the best friend that you need in every book. But in the vein of me mispronouncing something in every single book that we read, I exclusively read it as Hermes.
Like the purses?
Bougie bitch.
Like the bougie luxury you brand. Bougie lady. I was like, Hermes, oh my God. Okay, Hermes darling. Fancy, like,
damn. She can't relate. Seriously. I just
subscribe
a bunch
to our
of letters.
Patreon so that we can all afford an Hermes bag that we will then call.
Thank you.
Wait, I just put one on Dad's sticker. Credit card.
No. No.
Cross, if you see a charge on your card for me, it wasn't me.
No, you didn't.
No.
No, please no.
It was the Maddie
for
that you
20
know.
Grand.
Well, I don't really, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I just see a bunch of letters and I don't really say anything. But I know who he is. I don't always have to know how to say his name, but I'm pretty sure it's Hermes. It's like, when I read words that I'm not sure about, it's as if someone's saying the word from several rooms away. So you kind of like get the gist of it, but not all of it.
Like,
you
know? Underwater.
That's what happens.
It's in my like brain.
Yes. It's like,
It's like a LaCroix, but for your ears.
Ear LaCroix.
LaCroix.
Ear LaCroix.
Ear LaCroix. Just little tingly
bubbles.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's the suggestion.
Majorly artificial.
Peach.
All right. Well, baddies, we've talked a ton about our favorite Cookie Monster pajama wearing couple. But before we get into our overall rating, how about we discuss Spice?
Yeah. So
why is it Spice?
I read this while at a cabin with like 8 to 10 of my friends. And I have a core memory of listening to it because I was doing like vlog and audio, listening to it as I was trying to fall asleep. And I could not turn it off because it was too good. But also, it was really spicy. So I had my phone on like the absolute lowest fucking audio setting. And I was really hoping nobody could hear me like listening to it by myself in my room trying to fall asleep. I think Tip and Paul, her husband, were in the room across the hall. So boy howdy, I hope I was sneaky enough.
It's like you were exhibition and like you were doing exhibitionism, but with reading.
No, but
the
I
book.
Wasn't. I had it on so quiet.
No, yeah,
I don't
you were
remember
good
being able
secret.
To hear it.
Good.
If it makes you feel better, I don't think we could hear it.
Bless.
Oh my God, I'm dying. You know, like I read a lot of cowboy romance and a lot of hockey romance, and those get quite spicy, but this was one of the spicier romance books that I've read, and I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. This was not for rookies. This was holy shit.
I'm proud of you, Addie. Well done.
And like I was gonna say, we're getting there. I thought I had read some spicy shit before this, and then I read this and I was like, hold on to your cowboy hats because we're going for a ride. Like,
and she did.
And she sure did.
She did go for
I watched them have a ride, apparently.
Well,
Kelsey's so, just like, okay, so these are other books I have her read.
I know. I'm like, let me get your rating scale readjusted. But Touch of Darkness is a very steamy book with very explicit open door scenes. We get a lot of early lusting between Hades and Persephone. And once they get going, we get details. They're just not like super, super graphic details. I am going to give this a 3.5 out of 5 for the spice scale. But I did look at Reddit and the romance bot on Reddit gave it 4 out of 5. So I could potentially be swayed. I don't know how educated the romance bot on Reddit is when it comes to like some of the out of pocket shit we enjoy. But I will also say that like the later books do get spicier. So those lean more like 4 out of 5 on the spice scale.
This was my like, besides, you know, Percy Jackson and ACOTAR, this was my first like Hades and Persephone obvious book. And I learned a new word, exhibitionism. And I loved it. Give me more of that. That was
you
awesome.
You need to read Neon Gods. Yes. That's literally Hades and Persephone.
To
that's
be
exhibitionism.
Fair, let the record show. I texted our group chat like 2 to 3 years ago. And I went, guys, which one should I read? Touch of Darkness or Neon Gods? And all of you said Touch of Darkness. Because like Neon Gods is just not as spicy.
No,
it's
no,
not
no,
that
no,
good.
No,
you,
no,
I said
no.
It was not
there's
that
no,
good.
No way.
No. Touch of Darkness is objectively better.
All right. Neon Gods is spicier.
Yes. Got it.
By a lot.
Yes. So maybe you were protecting me. Maybe you're like, you should probably read the other one first.
That's
Neon Gods.
Okay.
You're
has
so
much
growing.
Less. Yeah. Like Touch of Darkness has way more plot than Neon Gods does. But you
okay,
would love
well, I'm
Neon
excited.
Gods. You still should read
I'm
it.
I'm going to read it. It seems like a good fall. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. We got a lot of fighting is foreplay. Love the power dynamic. I love the forbidden love. Mommy said no. Like, all of that was awesome. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 because I wanted more. It wasn't graphic enough, you know? Give me more.
You wanted butt stuff, and I don't
believe it. Amen.
That's exactly what I meant.
That was just unhinged. That came out of nowhere.
Tiff, what about you?
Yeah, I think that I'm with Kelsey. I think it's about a 3.5 out of 5, and it's a 3.5 out of 5. And that's purely because, like, I think I keep comparing it in my head to Neon Gods and also the spicier, more explicit scenes in Promises and Pomegranates. I think that this one has the most plot out of any of those three, like, big retellings of Hades and Persephone. And that's cool and great. But for spice, I think it's like a 3.5 out of 5.
So I feel like now that we've gone through our spice ratings, I want to hear what you guys had overall thoughts. Like, what were your overall ratings?
Okay, so kind of piggybacking off of what I just said, I like it. I like that it involves some magic that, like, other Hades and Persephone retellings don't always go into. It's a cool and interesting world. The descriptions of the underworld. I know I mentioned rivers a bunch, but, like, the river descriptions are cool. Even when the characters kind of grind our gears, I still really love the setting. And we all know that I'm, like, such a vibes-based reader. I'll read anything if it's good vibes. I don't need plot. I just need vibes. So I think that this gets, like, again, like, a probably like a 3.75 or a 4 for me out of 5 on vibes alone, because it seems like a pretty cool world.
Yeah. I had read this, like, and then I read Promises and Pomegranates, and I would say, similar to Tiff, like, there was, like, intriguing magic, intriguing gods and goddesses. The world building was really interesting, but I honestly kind of felt like there was supposed to be, like, I should have read a prequel. And I feel, I don't know if that's a shared experience, because I think for a lot of us, it felt a little flat in the world building, but it almost felt like so flat. I was like, was there something that I was supposed to read? Was there homework, you know, to kind of build into it? But, like, once you're in, you know, and that felt good. I think, for me, the miscommunication tropes do make me nuts, but in this book, they all kind of made sense because it was, like, part of their journey as a couple. Ultimately makes the score a little bit lower is some of the side characters' journeys and how they end up towards the end of the book, and just kind of, like, it didn't feel quite right to me. I don't want to spoil it because we didn't quite talk about it. So read it. Let me know your thoughts about Persephone's friend. So I'm going to say, like, 3.5 out of 5. Good times, but that particular ending was a little interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, like, fun reads, for sure, 4 out of 5. It was a fun thing to read while I was at a cabin with a bunch of friends. Thought there were cool friendship themes. Like Mary said, I wasn't told on the magic system or the lore or any of the backstory, but I had a great time.
I love. Yeah, Mary, I feel like your note about, like, needing a prequel, I think as someone who reads so many Hades and Persephone stories, I'm very familiar with, like, the narrative journey and all the gods and goddesses and what they do. And so it is interesting to hear, like, without all that background and back context, like, maybe that was part of it. Like, you know, maybe you're not as...
All I have is Percy Jackson and, like, those pretty books from Barnes & Noble we all had as kids with the mythology.
And Akamath. Yes, Feyre and Rhysand is a Hades Persephone retelling, but that one's much more looser. But anyway... I'll tell you my overall rating. This was my first read in 2021 that was a 5-star read. Did it hold up rereading it now? Yes, it sure fucking did. It had, like, everything I wanted out of a romantasy. And if I got, like, what I expect, then it's 5 out of 5. There were compelling relationships. Persephone is wicked yet naive. There's vengeful and wrathful characters and plot lines. We have Hades, who I love, love, love. And he's just so great in this retelling. There's just enough plot, but still sexy time. And I went into it thinking that I was going to be like, oh, I'll give it a lower rating. But, like, it just gave me everything I wanted. So I am sticking with 5 stars. I might be generous, but I don't care. I'm standing by it.
I love that, though. Kelsey, I feel like you always describe how you love books, like, just in a way where I could listen to you talk forever. Like, I could listen to you describe a 5-star read for literally 5 years. And I'd be fine with it.
Podcast.
Oh, Addie, let's, maybe we should do a podcast.
Maybe we should have a podcast. You know, I think for this one, I think it was like a 3 out of 5 or a 4-star for me. I think I really liked it. I think we read it initially and then we reread it again. I don't know that I would go back and reread it again for me. And I think for me, the urban fantasy part is where I am not
the biggest fan. And I think for me, it's blurring the line between what I do for a living, like my career, and my books. And so for me, it's a little bit more like, I would love to read a Hades and Persephone that's not set in urban fantasy. Pull it away. There's so many of them. And I just want to give my brain time for all of them. So I think remove some of the marketing girly journalism aspects of it, and I might have loved it more. But I think for me, I just don't want to blur the lines of my career and the books that I read. So it was a 3.5 or 4 stars for me.
Yeah, Addie, you're making me realize I must really fucking love everything else because I was so pissed about the journalism thing. And yet I still gave this book 5 stars.
I was going to say, like, if that just, okay, I'll just say this. If someone's like, oh, it's a social media manager book, immediate DNF for me. No, I don't want to read about it. I don't want to read about your Instagram grid. I want to read about the freaking assassin going after the dragons and the king who's an asshole and falling in love. Like, give it to me now.
Give it to me.
All right, Mary. Time for bed.
Sorry.
Just thought that was cute.
It was cute. It's okay.
So Touch of Darkness is just the first book of this series. There are 3 other in Persephone's series. And then Scarlett rewrote them from Hades' perspective, too. And I hate that. I hate that every author decided that they needed to rewrite books from the male protagonist's point of view just because Midnight Sun did it. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I think it's dumb. 0 out of 10.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about men.
No, that's not what I read for.
I hear you.
Agreed.
I hear you.
Jim Crossland.
I hear you, Tiff. I feel like I enjoyed them because like I was horny. Like,
sure. When are you not?
That's reality. Fair.
But I will say, I really fucking say that like Scarlett really should have finished publishing the main series first. Like it felt like this series has lost so much steam because she like started to do Persephone's tellings and has stopped to retell the other ones in Hades, but it hasn't finished it. So we're left hanging and we've like kind of forgotten the plot. Because we're too focused on Hades' view of, you know, pinning her to the mattress, you know?
No, totally. I read this series a while ago and I forgot so much of what happened, but you're so spot on. Has anyone read the Hades versions or like also the brand new book that just dropped? Because
no, I completely forgot that a new Persephone POV book came out earlier this year. Because again, like what you guys are saying, like I lost momentum with it. So it's a called a touch of forgetfulness.
I think that kind of shows how much this just like fizzled out when she wrote the Hades books, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely, I remember, I mean, it's this episode and like talking about it again is inspiring me to dive back in. So I don't know, maybe I'll do some work and report back to the baddies.
Would you please? Because I think I might too. Maybe we should have a book club and read it.
Book club, finish a Touch of Darkness. Podcast.
Or that. Speaking of a podcast,
yeah,
it is time for our favorite part of the episode, Books and Daddy Torture Time.
Torture time.
Waterboard him, kill him,
burn him at the stake.
Whoa. Oh, God.
Whoa.
Draw and quarter him,
waterboard him,
tar and feather him,
post embarrassing pictures of him online,
lock him in a coffin, Aelin style.
Addie, that's dark.
Yeah, that's the line, God. Addie. You found it.
Oh, God.
Waterboarding him wasn't the line, Mary. Nope.
That's the line. The coffin. That's not nice.
Torture for which the U.S. government has prosecuted its own military somehow wasn't the line.
No.
I'm just one. A baby. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the creativity I'm hearing, but let's start with some trivia.
Boring, Mary. That's so boring.
I don't know. Now I'm interested in this whole waterboarding thing.
All right, waterboarding on the next episode today. Okay, how well does Cross know Greek mythology? Dun, dun, dun. We've prepared some questions for you, and we've hidden them because we know you'll cheat, like a little cheater. So Addie has your first question. You may not. You don't even. Yeah, you didn't prep at all. So we'll see how you fucking do.
All right. So
these Cross. How many questions are there in total? Can I know?
There are 5.
No, I've none your business.
Oh, okay.
And there are
none your business.
There are 4 answers for each multiple choice. In order to so. Are you good? Did you just have a stroke or something, Mary?
Just get to
this fucking podcast, I tell you.
All right, Cross, your first question. In order to seduce Leda, a beautiful princess, this Greek god turned into a swan. Which Greek god was it? A, Zeus.
Oh, okay. Already, come out of the gate.
Are you sure about the other options?
100% sure.
Fucker. Moving on. What did you say?
Zeus.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Next time, can you wait your turn?
I know that one for sure. Sorry. I'll let you read all the responses first.
This is why boys aren't allowed.
No. You just had to show off for some reason. It's fine. Bitch. We're warming you up. Addie's the practice round.
That question had the same level of...
I'm putting my angry eyes on now.
That question had the same level of accessibility as like writing your name. So I'm not worried.
Mary, give it to him a little harder.
Please rephrase.
I'm so glad you all got that. Mary, give it to him.
Increase the level of difficulty, please.
Give it to him longer.
All right. Turn up the heat.
Clint, Prometheus was punished by Zeus because he stole fire to give it back to mankind. What was his punishment? A, force...
Go ahead.
Do you want to guess instead of multiple choice?
Fill in the blank, coward. Whatever, asshole. Go for it.
Yeah, so he has his eyes pecked out. He's chained to the earth forever. He has his eyes pecked out and has his liver eaten by crows, vultures, every day.
How the fuck do you know the answer to this?
No, you're not entirely correct.
He's well read.
All right, I'm mostly correct, though. Yeah, I'm like 80% correct.
Are you Googling this as you work?
No, I know that.
Show your hands.
What do you mean?
Raise them. Raise them.
Here.
Yeah. All right,
we just forgot that Cross is a fucking nerd, guys.
Yeah, that's true. Truly. All right, so here's the deal. He was forced to let an eagle eat his liver every day. Open a fucking book for once, Crossland. God. Moving on.
Depends on the translation. Okay.
That's true, such actually. A nerd. He's right. Fair enough. He's right, though.
All right, I'm not even going to read the options to you. Let's see if you get this one.
Wait, read just the options. Let him say the question.
Ooh, that could be fun.
Spicy.
But alas, what did Hera regenerate every day while taking a bath, Crossland?
Oh, I don't know this.
Surprise.
As
interesting.
Freshly. Yeah, no.
Interesting.
Fake fan. Okay, here's the options. A, her youth. B, her virginity. C, her left hand. D, her skin.
I'm going to go with youth, but I'm not 100%
the
sure.
Audacity.
It's her virginity.
Wow.
Yeah, that high grows back in this scene.
I do it every morning.
Crazy.
Every morning, girl.
Know that.
Every day.
All right. I've got another one for you, Crossland. In the historic battle between Cronos and Uranos, Cronos ultimately bests Uranos by cutting off his penis and throwing it into the ocean.
Brutal.
What was created from the blood and semen that mixed in the waves?
What? Answer the question, Crossland.
I learned so much about anatomical things during this one.
No. Can I ask a follow up as opposed to you giving me?
You
the
can ask
right
it,
away?
But whether or not I answer it is up to me.
Fair enough, I guess. Is this like a god? Is it a people, or is it like a thing in the ocean? If that makes sense, does that track? Do you understand? Like what type?
What
of
if we
thing
said yes?
Created?
Yes.
Yes.
It's just yes.
Oh, that's so...
The answer is yes.
That's worse.
Would you like your options?
No.
Yeah, I would love options.
I want one guess. No? I want one guess first.
Man, the creation myth stuff is the stuff that I don't have down compared to a lot of the other things.
My brain is just so big.
The penis and blood thrown into the ocean. It was probably, I don't know. What's the name of the giant sea creature off of the island of Sicily? There's that. No. It's from the Odyssey, similarly. But
I know what you're talking about. So, yeah.
The Kraken? Yeah. Just kidding.
No, but I almost said the Kraken, but that's not it. But it's
not that
a
either.
Similar beast. Okay, cool.
But thank you.
It's
here
like
your option.
Tribidus.
Tribidus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway.
Damn. Wrong.
No.
Okay.
Wrong.
But no.
Okay. A, the furries. Furies, not the furries.
The furries
and the furies.
I was thinking like
B, Aphrodite. C, sea foam. D, all of the above. Or E, none of the above.
D, all of the above.
Yay! We finally made it.
We've arrived.
Yeah.
everybody.
All right.
We're proud. Aphrodite
stayed from her granddad's pee-pee in the ocean. Go off, girl. Right. Boss.
She emerged from seafoam. That was the thing that I was like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. that has to be all of them. That was mm-hmm. the only reason I was like, definitely
it's
all of them.
It's just so hard to be smart, isn't it, Cross?
Well, I know a lot of Greek mythology, actually.
I'm just so smart. My brain's
just
know so
a lot
big.
Of things. Okay, Tiff, you want to close us out with the last question?
All right, last one. In one myth, Apollo turns himself into a creature and captains a ship. What creature does he turn himself into?
Ooh, this is interesting. Can I get the list?
No.
No, give me one
Coward.
Guess.
Okay. On the boat, he turned himself into... God, was he captaining the boat?
Because if he's a captain, it's clearly a...
He Giving turned Moana. Himself into a bird.
A bird? That is incorrect.
A bird of some variety. Bird. An eagle.
Okay. Here are your options.
That is incorrect.
That is incorrect.
She turned herself into a bird.
Okay. So here are your options. We've got a squid, a dolphin, a pegasus, or a sunfish.
Did that fucker turn himself into a sunfish?
Is that your final answer?
Is that your answer?
No. That was a question to myself out loud. It's an audio medium. I can't just be furrowing my eyebrow.
Audio medium. You know,
and waiting
audio
dramatically.
I'm just so smart. I use the big people words Addy doesn't understand.
Which one? Audio or medium? I'm not
audio
sure.
Audio medium.
the hyphen
those are
confuses
two words.
Us all.
Anyway.
You're so smart. My name is Cross and it's spelled with an X.
So sorry. Pegasus?
Yeah. That's one of the options.
No, that's the one I'm choosing.
That's the one you're choosing?
Not the right one? Okay.
It's not right, but that's okay.
Okay.
You certainly tried. I know it's a dolphin.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Can anyone make a dolphin noise?
I was going to say that was my captain. Dolphin noise, but it wasn't that good.
Out of curiosity. Good try. Can we request that stepfather add a dolphin noise to round out that segment?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We
I'll
can
request whether or not it's answered.
Cross, we have this great accurate Greek mythology book to recommend to you. It's called Touch of Darkness. I think
you've probably never read it before.
Yeah, I think you'll
I think
love
we
it.
Talked about this during the other episode, but I've read Neon Gods, so like I'm not completely that out
is,
of the this
how long did it take
plague,
you to read
unfortunately
6 years
a calendar year.
No.
Okay, all right, so
I don't
now
read Greek mythology
all...
for fun.
Speaking of Greek mythology, we're all clearly experts in Greek mythology now. Thank you, Crossland. Yes. Both traditional and according to this book. But there are clearly a couple of holes in Greek mythology, magic-wise, that your very favorite baddies could fill. Because what are we good at if not filling holes? So, baddies, tell me, what do you think your... Greek god power would be. It would be something like obscure and interesting and sexy, you know, just like us. And in this world, what do you think that your like Hades adjacent nightclub name would be?
Ooh.
Love this. How niche.
I do too. Okay, I thought long and hard about this one.
Like
and I decided I think my obscure power would be charging anything simply by touch. So that like my vibrator and my Kindle just never die. You know, the necessities, Kindle, vibe, maybe phone, but the big three, big battery three. On full baby. That's what my power is. And I think my club would be called Vibe.
Ooh.
I love it.
Love.
I would go. Awesome.
That's great.
I'd go.
I hope
my
you
phone
would all
is never
come.
Charged.
I'll tell you that.
Please come. I think I would.
Wow. We sure would come.
I for sure would come. Yeah.
Well, great. Beautiful. Thank you.
My obscure Greek god power would be not that, but mine would be that I could actually pay attention for more than 10 minutes to something because I can't right now. So mine would be queen? Called, yeah, I was going to say, my club would be called Attention because it would make you stand at attention.
Love.
Kidding. I just mean that I would actually have attention for something for once. Hey, like a squirrel.
So if I were to visit your club, do I just get 10 minutes of your like
full pure
attention?
Focus? Like pure focus on like a task you need to complete. Like you need to unload
That's
your
powerful.
Dishwasher, you're gonna do it at that moment because you are thinking about it and you have attention for it.
At the club?
No, you're gonna go home. You've got a list on your phone of things you gotta do, and it's like I'm gonna go home and accomplish this. Because
this just sounds like cocaine.
Yeah, it's party drugs you pick up at attention.
Maybe I should talk to Bryce.
I mean, yeah, she's a good resource here.
Yes.
I think that my power would probably be having like random fun facts, but like specific ones relating to like Twilight and other books. And if I'm going specifically with Twilight, I think that like the club's name would be Meadow, because I think that would be cute. And I would go to a club called Meadow.
Cute.
Yeah.
100%. On some nights, can you rename it Metal and make it like a pop punk / emo yes. club?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. Tiff, I think you and I would be like co-owners of a club, maybe with different theme nights, because I think my power / club is just like fun facts. No theme, right? I just yell them through the speakers, like jumping around like a DJ before the beat drop. Like it's like there are more trees on the earth and there are stars in the Milky Way. Everybody like gets down on the spot.
I love it. I'm so pulling money out of my bank account to do this now.
I'd get bottle service at your club.
I would like to invest. Hell yeah.
Bottle service
Meadow every night. Hell yes.
Is bottle service vampire blood if it's random Twilight facts? No? Yes?
Yes.
Maybe you want like one of your specials as a cosmopolitan, but it's like with
delicious.
Delightful Bloody Mary.
Yes. We should make a Pinterest board. Ba-dum. Okay. Here's mine. I'm going to sound like either a Hufflepuff or St. Anthony, but my club is going to be about finding things. Okay.
With your hands on your toes.
Wow, exciting. But here's why it is. So people come in the club. They pay at the door. There is an entrance fee. I apologize.
Key. Yeah, the keyword is that she's making $10 every time you walk in.
Yeah. They get a little drunk. And then once they're dancing and they are truly lost in the moment, the thing that they are missing like falls into their.
Ooh.
I love that. Yeah,
what if you lost your car?
Falls into your hand.
Then you're not allowed in the club. There's a screener. But the club is called Treasure because it's you're finding your missing treasure.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
Yours is way more wholesome.
What if you lost Jesus?
You find him. He falls out of the ceiling. I don't understand what you're missing about this concept,
like
buddy.
It's like this.
And he... I feel like I explained it really well. Like
the entire Christianity faith just explodes.
No, just Jesus himself.
Jesus shakes ass on the dance floor with you.
I firmly believe him and Mary Magdalene are like, let's get fucked up.
Canonically, Jesus was friends with sex workers. I think he'd be okay in a club.
Yes. So thanks for asking.
And then Lindsay would be like guest DJing that night, just dropping facts.
Yes.
Cool. And I can help them pay attention at the club to what they're missing.
Yeah, and I just have a vibrator corner. Charging station.
Yes.
Charging station.
Well, when they text people that they find it, they have to go charge their phones.
Is your phone dead? Come here. I got you.
Get over here.
Did Lindsay's facts turn you on? Like,
I got you.
Always.
Crossland. Your turn.
That's like. Crossland.
Not to like throw out a downer here or anything, but I'd definitely be constantly plagued by crickets because every time I make a joke, especially in this podcast, everyone just kind of like goes quiet and I need their symphony to keep me company. So for fresh jokes and clever comedian debuts, you can march straight into Verdant Witticisms, open exclusively on Wednesdays.
Only Wednesdays.
Okay.
So notice how I'm being quiet right now because I didn't think that was very funny.
It's open mic night, but it's only Wednesdays.
It's open mic night, but it's only Cross.
I'm just so smart. My name is Crossland with a K.
All right.
In that same vein, thank you, of course, to our podcast Eddie Cross of Words and Whiskey for keeping us on track or not, but mostly not really. To Stephen and Andrew for keeping us sounding as pretty as we look. Yay. Check out all of our links in the show notes. You can find our schedule, Patreon, previous episodes, all the important socials in one convenient spot. And remember, hotties can read whatever they want. So chase your bliss, baby baddies.
Bye.
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 Love you. See you soon.
Kisses.